Hey guys, welcome to Our City Church. We are so glad you are here. If you're looking for some good sermons and great words of encouragement, you have come to the right place. And while you're here, go ahead and like, comment, and subscribe, and share this with all your loved ones if you want them to be encouraged as well. Now, let's join this week's sermon in progress.
I wrote about 3 sermons this week. I was wrestling. It's like, oh, should I do this? Should I do that? And we have a sermon, like a preaching meeting, and I came to the preaching meeting, and I was like, I just put them all in there. And Pastor Rich was like, dude, like, that's a lot. Like, that's a lot. I'm on fire. So you know what I did? I just wiped it all. And I said, Lord, what do you want to say to your people? And I wept. I wept in that room right there. And I'm not saying that's a boast, but right there in that room, I just seeked his face. And I said, what do you want to say? And he spoke to me. I said, Lord, what can I say to make them see it? What can I say to make them love you? What can I say to make them draw closer to you? How can I do it? What can I say? And I heard a voice in my spirit say, why would I let you do something I didn't allow myself to do? Why would I let you take the choice of my people away when I don't take the choice of my people away? See, since the beginning, since the garden, we had everything. We were provided for. We walked with God, us and him. We were close. We were in communion, but there was a choice. There was a choice for us to have relationship with him. And there's a choice for us to have relationship with him today. So let me tell you right now, there's nothing a little brown boy from New York could say to you that's gonna make you make that choice. There's nothing Pastor Mindy will say. There's nothing Pastor Rich will say. We cannot fabricate any sort of message that will move your heart that way. You have to say, look, I am dirty. I am filthy. Everything I tried drugs, I tried sex, I tried the bars, I tried the clubs, I tried violence, I tried everything and nothing filled me, but Lord, I look to you now. Take it. I tried this relationship, it didn't. Take it. I tried to worship my job and my degree. Take it. I tried to worship what I know to be right. Take it. I want to be honest with you this morning. I don't think you guys are stupid, and I don't want to belittle you because I think the things of heaven are easy. I think the gospel is simple. You know what I think is hard? The world. The world is hard, and most people want to stay in the world. So I don't know how to make it easier for you. I can't make it easier for you. You already know life on the hardest difficulty level. Right, Pastor Rich? We already know life hard. But I can try to make it easy for you. So I'm going to. I wrote down some steps because everybody likes steps. My question today is how to have a relationship with God. Yeah, Amy, this Amy, not my Amy, this Amy, his Amy, not my Amy. She does such a great job. I always come with my sermons and I don't have a title and she's like, I think this will be good. And I'm like, that'll be great. So there's 3 simple steps that you can take to have a great relationship with God. Are you ready for them? I think they're so easy, you don't even have to write them down. 1, meet him. 2, fall in love with him. And 3, wait for it, stay in love with him. It is so simple. That's it. All of us here are at one of those levels right now. I know that you're at one of those levels, even if you've never met him in your whole life. You met him today. During worship, he was here. You've heard me speak this long. You know, you've met him already. So we're going to go through those three, and I'm going to give you a little bit of a context behind how I've walked in my life to make it happen. Each stage is different. When you meet him, it always looks different. Everybody's meeting him looks different. Everybody's falling in love with him looks different. But when you fall in love with him, it's usually like you're infatuated. You want to spend every moment with him. You sing in your car on the way to work. You want to listen to every sermon. Lord. Staying in love with him is a little bit harder. Because sometimes things aren't as easy when you're trying to stay in love. Falling in love is easy. There's a song. Falling is easy. Staying in love is hard. But today we're going to learn how to stay in love if we're in love. Today if we have to re-meet him, we're going to re-meet him. In Jesus' name. I'm going to tell you how I met him. And I'm going to preface it with saying that maybe some of you have met him the wrong way. Maybe when you met him, maybe your father came home and he was still drunk. Maybe he was still abusive. Maybe he still did everything he already did when he was in the world, but he still went to church. So that is your version of meeting Jesus. Wow. Maybe you went to a church and the church was buck wild, not in a good way. We're buck wild in a good way. The church was wild and they were just out of pocket. And that's how you met Jesus. So that's the version of Jesus you have. But let's put all of that aside today and get the version of Jesus that he wants to give you himself. I don't know about you. I notice sometimes our worship team, we mess some stuff up. We mess stuff up. But when we mess stuff up, you never blame Elevation Worship, right? No one's like, oh, that song, it didn't go very well. I hate Elevation Worship. No. We're the cover band. I'm making fun of myself. We messed up. Let me get into it. I know we took a little bit of extra time, but can I get an extra 5 minutes today? Okay, awesome. All right, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20, 15, 20. Okay. When I fell in love with Jesus, when I met Jesus, I just met him, like, through my mother. But see, meeting someone doesn't give you a relationship with someone. On average, you will meet, everyone in here will meet 10,000 people during their life. You will meet 10,000 people. 1% of 10,000 is 100. You will have less than 1% of real relationships with people you meet. I'm doing math today. We're gonna do more math. So I just wanna make that clear to you. Just because you meet someone doesn't mean you know someone. Just because you meet someone doesn't mean you have a relationship with someone. There might be people you go to work with every single day and you have no relationship with them. Most of you in here, I've seen you over and over again and I don't even know your name. I've met you, but I don't know you. I don't know the first thing about you. See, when my mother met Jesus, I was about 16, and she came home. And she went insane. I mean, she went crazy. My mother would come home and she would usually have I smoked Newports. I wasn't old enough to buy them. So she would usually, you know, bring me a pack of Newports. Hey, son, you know, how you doing? Good, good. All right, cool. all right, I'll see you later. She would buy my cigarettes. Amy, my wife, she would always sleep over almost every day. During the summer, she like lived in my house. She's back there like. I was 16 and she was about 15. And my mother went to this crazy Pentecostal church. And the pastor said something to her that was so key. I don't care about denominations, by the way. The pastor said to her, I care about transformation, not denomination. If you're transformed, I'm with it. The pastor said, go home and everything that doesn't line up with the word, change it. And she said, oh, okay, how do I do that? He said, go in the word. I remember him. His name is Pastor Jedda. Go in the word. If it doesn't line up with the word, change it. And she said, okay, so we've been doing this for a long. He said, no. Don't take 3 days. Don't take 5 days. Don't take 1 year. Don't make a one-year plan today. Change it today. And it's going to be hard, and you're going to suffer. But Christ suffered more in what he did for you than you will suffer in giving up what for him what he wants to give to you, if that makes sense. Lord Jesus, that was hard. So she came home. She stopped buying me cigarettes. I'm like, Mom, where's my cigarettes? She's like, no, I'm not buying you cigarettes anymore. I come home one day, and I had a desk, and there was, like, beer under my desk. I came home one day, and my beer was gone. I was like, Mom, where's my beer? She's like, doesn't line up. I came home one day, and I came home late, and my stepdad, he's on the couch, and he looks at me. He's like, what's up? I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, your mom kicked me out of the room. We're not married. I was like, that's weird. You guys have two babies. He's like, I don't know. She went crazy. She started going to that church. She went crazy. This is all real things that happened. We go in the garage and we're just like, we'll light up a, you know, like, man, Mom's crazy. She crazy. She going crazy. And let me tell you the best thing she did. And I know this sounds funny. I know it sounds funny, but this is how I met Jesus. That's the Jesus I met. I didn't meet the, oh, I'm still in the world, dipping my toe, Jesus. I didn't meet the, oh, I'm over here in the world and I'm half in the church, Jesus. I don't know that Jesus. I met that Jesus. I didn't know him yet. I didn't love him yet. I didn't make my decision, but I met him. All I knew is that my mom was suicidal. She tried to kill herself. She was on drugs. She was overworked. She always looked sad. She always looked tired, but she started going to this church. She came home. She changed everything in the house, and everything changed. She changed everything. But there was one day I came home and I still smelled like drugs and I still had what I had on me. And she looked at me with tears in her eyes and she said, Sam, I need you to get out of my house. And she looked so broken. I remember, it's one of my worst memories in my heart. She was so sad. She said, Sam, I need you to get out of my house. I said, Mom, what are you talking about? She said, I told you to stop bringing this stuff in my house. I told you to stop bringing this girl in my house. I told you to stop smoking in my house. I told you to stop cursing in my house. And if you stay here, you're going to pollute your little brothers. So with tears in her eyes, she said, you have to go. But I'll never forget, she pointed at me and she said, but the Lord will keep you. And she said it with such authority, with such passion, that I couldn't help but believe her. I didn't know her God yet, but I knew that something happened to her that changed her. And that's the God I met. Maybe the God you met was someone who went to church and they still cursed at you. Someone who went to church and they still abused you. Someone who went to church and they still sexually abused you. Someone who went to church and they still called you names and they treated people like garbage. Maybe you remember going to church and going to lunch after church and them treating the server like garbage. Maybe you remember someone who said they knew Jesus, but they didn't have any love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, or self-control. Let me tell you, you didn't meet Jesus. That is not Jesus. That's a form. It's a form of godliness, but it lacks the power. Because what I saw when I met Jesus was power. Power that changed a whole home. And my sister from here to here and from here to here has cuts and lacerations on her arm because she used to cut herself. We couldn't keep blades in the kitchen or blades in the, like any blades you shave with, because she would find them and she would cut herself with anything. My sister has 4 babies and she's serving the Lord. And she's married to one of the most powerful pastors in America. I'm serving the Lord. Hey, here, I'm here. Look. My stepfather is a pastor. Everyone in the house transformed. Why? Because she served Jesus. She met him, she fell in love, and she stayed in love. Let me tell you how I fell in love, okay? I can't be too long, but let me tell you. See, I chased everything, and I want to start with something that people might not understand and might not get, but please try. The devil can bless you. I just want that to resonate with you. The devil, I know it sounds funny, the devil can bless you. The devil will give you a job. The devil will give you a relationship. The devil can open doors and give you money. You say, oh, no, that's not biblical. Yes, it is. He tried to do it to Jesus. He tried to do it to Jesus. He said, Jesus, I'll give you the whole world, which is hysterical. I made the world. I had the biggest smoke shop in the valley in California. I owned it. I was living my dream. I would play in the jazz clubs in San Francisco. I had all the cars I want. I had all the relationships I want. I had all the money I wanted. I didn't even know what to do with it. I would just go to the bar and buy the bar. Every time I walked in, they're like, Sam's here. He's buying the bar. Until one day, I got sick and tired of being sick and tired. My relationships were crumbling. People, they put $10,000 on my head and they were coming to get me, and I knew they would come. I knew it was gonna happen eventually. I knew the cops were gonna get me eventually, and everything closed in. But in the beginning, it looked fine. See, serving the devil is like taking a credit card with a very high limit, and you could buy whatever you want. At first, you get the credit card, you're excited. You're like, yeah, I got the credit card. You go, you swipe it. Okay, oh, I want this relationship. Okay, bing. Oh, I want this car. Bing. Oh, I want this. Bing. But then you get a call one day from a debt collector that says, look, it's time to pay up. All that money you spent over there, all that time you spent over there, it's time to pay. Oh, but I don't have any, I can't pay. Okay, you're gonna pay with your peace. You're gonna pay with your joy. You're gonna pay with your abundance. You're gonna pay with your family. You're gonna pay with your growth. You're gonna pay in anxiety. You're gonna pay with no sleep. You're gonna pay. You're gonna pay for every time you swiped. And there was one day that I had to pay. But you know what I did? I was on my couch and it was to the point that I didn't even know how to be sober anymore. I had no clue. I don't remember the last day I was sober. I didn't know. And I got down and I said, Lord, these people are gonna kill me. These police are gonna lock me up. This girl's gonna take me for everything I got. I have nothing. I am nothing. Please help me. And you don't gotta believe me, but in that moment, I went from being drunk and high to sober. And it was confusing because I had no clue how to be sober anymore. It's been years since I was sober. And for some reason, I almost felt my pupils change. I was like, I took a breath. I said, Lord. And my business partner at the time, he sent me an email because he was stressed out and he knew that these people were really gonna hurt me. So I opened my email and I have a flight out of California that night. I had to be at SFO in 2 hours. It was a flight. He was like, this is the only flight I could get you. But I need you to get out of here because I feel like you're gonna die. And I knew I was going to. I was okay with it. So I was still messed up. I got in my friend's Charger. And when I got in the Charger, I was like, hey, you want a BMW Z3? And he was like, yeah. I gave him a pink slip to a BMW Z3. I called my friend Steve. I said, hey, do you want an Audi TT? And he was like, yeah, come on, get it. I gave him a pink slip to an Audi TT. I called my other friend. I said, hey, do you want a Kawasaki 900 Ninja? I gotta go. And I gave all this stuff away. I just started giving. And I didn't realize that money couldn't buy happiness until I gave it away. I started feeling happiness, even little spurts in that. And I had a beanie, like a stocking cap. You know what I'm talking about? Like a beanie? In my safe at the shop that no one knew about. And it had gold and silver in it. And I was so nervous to take it on the plane. I was like, they're gonna take this from me. it just had gold and silver coins in it. And I got on the plane and I just did what I always do on planes. I said, okay, bring me some Bombay and some orange juice. They're like, we're out of Bombay. I'm like, how are you out of Bombay? This is a plane. I always have Bombay. You know what? Just bring me a Jack and a Coke. And I drink it. And I don't think anything of it. I'm stressed out. And I drink another one. And I drink another one. I'm like, this isn't working. And I'm in the plane. I'm like, why isn't this working? And I'm like, oh yeah. When my mom met, she changed everything. Thanks, Lord. Okay. So I couldn't smoke in the plane, so I had a dip in. So I was that messed up. I was messed up. So I was like, Lord, I'm going to leave my dip in. It's good. He was like, okay, you can leave it in. So I'm just there. And I get to New York. And what do I run to? What I know. I didn't go to anyone's house but Amy's. And that night, I said, you gotta break up with your boyfriend. He's lame. I remember that dude. He was lame. He was lame. And she was like, man, like, she's laughing. She's like all red. So I went to the bar one night and she went and broke up with her boyfriend. I let her go break up with her boyfriend. She spent like an hour. And I was like, she didn't do anything though. And she came back to the bar and we just had a good time. And then we stopped going to bars. Then we stopped drinking. Then we stopped cursing. We kept going to church. I was like, I want to know him more. I went back. I went to seminary. I want to know you more, Lord. I want to be more disciplined. I went to internship, and they drilled me. I won't even talk about it. It was like the military. And I paid for it. A lot. But they teach me how to be a man. They said, Sam, don't do that. Sam, don't say that. Sam, you can't hit that person anymore. You can't hit him. Just don't hit him. You can't do that. That's just a short testimony. There's so much more, but let me tell you the last part. Let me tell you how I stay in love with him. because I think it's the most important. See, there's going to be a moment in time when you're in love with Jesus and the honeymoon phase is over. That phase where everything is so brand new. You guys know when you've been with someone, you're like, hey, I want to see you again. And I want to see you again. Oh, you got work? Oh, boo-boo, I don't want you to go to work. You got to stay here with me. And she might even call in a couple times. That's the love, like falling in love stage. But when that's over and you start seeing people for who they relate, like, you're like, I didn't know you did that. Like, that's kind of annoying that you say that. Why do you say that? Wait, you want me to give that up? Nah. You know, at first, yeah, maybe, but not now. Like, I got you already. Everything's good now. You know? You wear whatever you want. You do whatever you want. Like, it doesn't matter how I look. Doesn't matter how I, it doesn't matter when the honeymoon stage is over. You know how I stay in love? I compare it to my marriage. See, when me and Amy got married, and I'm gonna end with this. I don't know how long it's gonna be, but I'm gonna end with it. When me and Amy got married, we brought all of our sin with us. Everyone she's been with, everyone I've been with, everything she did, everything I did, every drug I took, every drug she took, every trauma from her mother and her father, every trauma from my mother and my father, we were completely undone and unraveled. And we came into this relationship. And it caused a lot of pain and it caused a lot of suffering because we didn't do it right. So instead of cleaning ourselves up before we did it, we had to clean ourselves up during the process. And it was hard. It was hard. But after much prayer, much deliverance, much counseling, much self-control, I became a better man every single day. I started to develop this tunnel vision. I desexualized my mind. I stopped seeing women as what I saw them. And I started being a one-woman man. I started, when I would make a decision, I would say, how would Amy feel about this decision? When I had a trip booked, I would get trips booked. Before I even took the booking, I would talk to Amy and I would say, hey, Amy, what do you think about me going to this place for 3 days and I'm gonna make this amount and this is how much time it's gonna take away from you. This is how much time it's gonna take away from my family. This is how much, can you help me weigh this out? What do you think we should do? We have one bank account. I know, don't get me started. We have one bank account that we can see everything in it. I don't want to strike a nerve. I know it's hard. I know. I've counseled a lot of people. And that's always the thing. They're like, he has another bank account. I'm like, put your bank accounts together. You're hiding something. Let me stop. But let me tell you, what if I told Amy, you know, I made this covenant with you. We got married, but I'm still gonna go over there and be with that girl. It sounds crazy. Like just you hearing me say it's like, whoa. Yeah, I made this covenant with you and we're still working this out, but my finances are my finances. Not yours. I work for them, not you. So I'm gonna do what I want. You know what? I'm gonna go over here for as long as I want, and you're gonna stay here, and you're just gonna wait for me. You're just gonna wait. And when I get back, I'll get back. I'm not gonna tell you when. You wait. I might be describing your relationship with the Lord. Some of you in here, I'm not gonna look at you, because then people start being like, people start melting, they're like, I might be.
Some of us treat Jesus like he's our friend in jail. We come to church, we're like, hey, how you doing in here? Oh man, you've been in here for a long time. You know, we're planning on breaking you out sometime. We talk about getting you out into the streets. But not today. So I gotta go now. Visiting hours are over. It's been an hour and a half. But next week, I gotta go somewhere, so I'm not gonna be here next week. But that week after that, I'll come spend an hour and a half. Okay, Jesus? Then you hang up the phone. You want to know something? Jesus has a lot of grace. Let me do a little bit more math. There's about 168 hours in a week. If you give Jesus 1.5 hours in that week, you're giving him 1%. 1%. That's the same thing as the relationship thing. And then we shake our hand to the heavens and say, Lord, why don't you give me 100%? Why are you giving me one? You reap what you sow. I'm God, but there's things I can't do, like lie. If I said something, I meant something. I'm gonna end with this. I still got more notes, but I gotta stop. Okay, I'm gonna end with this. I said that like three, dang it. I'm getting docked. Pastor Rich. I love Pastor Rich. Can we just honor our pastors for a second? And how they let the Lord do whatever he wants to do in this house. How they let the Lord move. I love you, Mama. I love you, Pastor Rich. Pastor Rich is like my best friend. We be eating steaks. I come here eating steaks and watching birds fall out of nests and stuff. I'll tell you that another time. That's another sermon. When I fell in love with Jesus and when I decided to stay in love with Jesus, I read that Jesus is love. That's what I read in the Bible. I read that Jesus is love. But what the devil has done over the years and over the centuries is he has made so many definitions of love that he just confuses everybody. Like, it's so confusing. Now someone says, oh, if you don't let me do whatever I want, you don't love me. That's not true. If you tell me what is actually happening and you don't sugarcoat it with a bunch of Twinkies, you don't love me. That's not true. You know, the most loving thing that my mother did for me was kick me out of the house. It saved me. But I want to make it simple, so I'm going to make it simple. Lord, help me. When I look at the word love now, I even spell it different. Let me tell you how you spell love. T-I-M-E. If you want to spell love, T-I-M-E. Show me where you spend your time, and I'll show you what you love. Every other decision, everything you do, everything you think love is, do that. T-I-M-E. Oh, well, I love my wife. No, you don't. You spend all your time at work. T-I-M-E. Oh, you love your kids. Oh, you never see them. T-I-M-E. Oh, you love God, but you never come to church. You never talk to him. You never, T-I-M-E. Oh, I know men who love Call of Duty. I know men who love YouTube. I know men who love their car. I know men who love their friends. And it's convicting. It's real. Don't kill the messenger. But it's true. If my father were to call me right now and says he loves me, you know what I would say? No, you don't. Where were you? That's what I would say. I'm 33. Where were you? It's hard. It's hard, but it's true. And you could change it today. And you know how you change it? Let me get the worship team up here. And you could take this. Let me tell you how you change it. I want the you guys could dim the lights and let's stand up. Let's stand up and let's get serious about this thing. It does nothing for me if you give your life to the Lord, if you give everything to the Lord today. My job was only to tell you. My job was only to point. If I point and you don't go, I did my job. If I point and you go, I did my job. Our city church, it's our job to present the real gospel to you. It's our job to give it to you, but it's your job to follow it. It's your job to say, Lord, I want nothing else in my life but you. It's your job to say, Lord, there's nothing that will satisfy me but you. I've tried it all. If I were to tell you today, I'm going to give you $1 billion or $1,001,000,000, what would you pick? You'd say, that's so stupid. I don't care. I just want $1 billion. Yeah, whatever, you pick. Because the Lord is like $1 billion. The Lord plus anything? Mm-mm. Like, I just want the Lord. Just give him to me. He's everything that I can ever want, everything that I can ever imagine. And as we sing this song, it says, I just want you and nothing else. It's so simple. You know what makes the gospel complicated? Me. You. The gospel's simple. You come. You're transformed. He gives you new life. He breathes life into your nostrils. You're a new creation. Now walk with him.
Thank you so much for joining us today. I hope you are encouraged. If you are looking for more information, please visit ourcitychurch.online. We love you. We're praying for you. We'll see you soon.